Let's turn in our hymn books this morning to the paraphrase section. Paraphrase number 2. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. We bid you welcome to God's house this morning. It's good to see you here. And we're looking to the Lord that he will be with us and his presence will be very real indeed. Paraphrase number 2 for our opening praise. Let's stand to sing. Presence of the Lord, seek his help even this morning. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we do thank and praise thee for the words that we have been singing together. And Father, we are reminded of those most powerful words in the scriptures. I shall be thy God, and thou shalt be my people. And we thank and praise thee that so many people in this building this morning can testify that they belong to thee. We thank thee that thou art the most holy and most high God. We thank thee that thou art righteous and perfect and just. But we praise thee this morning that thou art also a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness. We thank thee this morning that we have access into the Most High's presence through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that Christ Jesus came to this world. We thank thee that he lived that life that we never could. We thank thee that he went to the cross of Calvary and suffered and shed his blood for wretched sinners such as we. We thank thee for that victory cry, "It is finished." We can say with the hymn writer, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Father, we look afresh to Calvary. We praise Thee for God the Son. We praise Thee for the finished work. We praise Thee again this morning that so many of us can testify of that time when Jesus Christ became our Lord and Savior and King. We praise Thee that we are redeemed not with silver, not with gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise Thee for the great truth that a ransomed sinner cannot die. No man may pluck us out of Thy hand. What a marvelous thought. Father, we come this morning and we praise Thee for all of the temporal blessings that we enjoy. We're met here in freedom, in liberty. We have before us this morning Thy Word in our mother tongue. We come from homes, we have families, we have food, we have clothes on our backs. We are a privileged people, and Father, we praise Thee. We take these things for granted. We confess our sin afresh unto Thee. We pray for the fresh cleansing. We pray that our worship would be acceptable unto Thee. We would come with clean hands and a pure heart. Oh, Father, we pray in these moments of quietness that Thou wouldst even prepare our hearts, that we would sing unto Thee with hearts full of praise, that we would come to Thy Word with reverence, that we would listen to the speaking voice of God this morning. Oh, Father, we pray that Thou wouldst be with us here in Ballygowan. Father, remember the pastor of this congregation. Remember him this morning in Market Hill. May he know Thy presence and Thy help with him. Oh, Lord, give him power and unction and authority of the Holy Ghost. And may he have that privilege, Father in heaven, of leading a soul to Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we confess at times our faith is weak. And yet we confess, Father, that it is the day of small things, and the ones and the twos are coming to the Savior. We pray that we would see more of this. We've looked at the history books, Father. We have seen those days of spiritual awakening when tens came to Thee. Even hundreds came to Thee. And the whole landscape of this land was changed, and courthouses were emptied, and public houses were closed. And Father, these things can happen again. With God, all things are possible, and we look to Thee for a move in our land. We look to Thee, Father, those of us who are Thine, and we pray that the spiritual tide, even within our own hearts, would rise. We're so aware that there must be a revival in our land, but Father, it must begin with us. And we pray, Father, that Thou wouldst move in our hearts and take us to new heights and keep us looking unto Thee and leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Father, we're mindful even of the locality. We're mindful of all the outreach efforts of this congregation. We pray for them. We pray that sinners would be brought into this place. We pray that their hearts would be open to the gospel and they would be brought into the family of God. Father, we're mindful even in this season as we come into the spring, perhaps missions beginning. We're mindful of the mission beginning over in the Spa in a few weeks' time. And Father, we pray that Thou wouldst move there, that Thou wouldst save souls. Oh, Father, come and be with us now as we seek to worship Thee. We need Thy presence. We need Thy help. We're mindful even this morning of those who would dearly love to be here, but perhaps sickness, age, infirmity, necessary duty. Father, they're detained. But may they know their portion of Thy blessing just where they are. Touch them this morning. Help us, Father in heaven, as we worship. Give the victory. For Christ's sake. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books to 478. 478, Saviour, Thy dying love, Thou gavest me. 478, and again we will stand and sing these words together. Well, of course, boys and girls, Mr. Smiley has instructed me that I am to take a few moments and to speak to you, especially this morning. But I have to say, that's not an issue, because I tend to do that anyway. So I'm not panicking overly about speaking to the boys and girls any more than I normally am this morning. But boys and girls, young people, and older people as well, you will notice even today and last night, and perhaps in the news this past few days, that there has been a lot of talk about the weather. And of course, this great storm that's coming in, that's sweeping across the Atlantic. And we think about the weather and we think about the seasons. And of course, if you go perhaps to a garden centre or even just a shop that sells garden products, you will see that with the changing of the seasons, the shops will sell different things. And away back in the autumn time, they will sell the bulbs, the daffodils and the tulips. And of course, those bulbs are starting to come into flower right now. And at this time of year, when we get into the winter months, when the icy nights come our way, we see that a lot of the garden centres, they will be selling bird food. And they will be selling seeds for the birds. They will be selling fat balls, and they will be selling bird houses. And of course, they will be selling bird tables as well. And during this past year, I myself bought a bird bath. And I have a bird table, and I put the seed on it. Now, I have to confess, I live in the town, and the birds don't seem to like my bird table. They don't really come. I've had one robin once, and that's all I know of. But they don't seem to come. But of course, when I was thinking of this and thinking of the birds, there are people who are really interested in birds. They have a hobby, bird watching. And they spend all sorts of days, even weeks, looking for birds. They have charts, they keep records, they tick off what birds they have seen, when and where. They're so interested. I know some people who go on holidays and base their whole holiday around bird watching. Perhaps that's a little extreme for you this morning, but some people take it so seriously. And of course, the Bible speaks of the birds. The Bible speaks of the birds. Over in Genesis chapter 1, when the Lord God is creating the world, it says there in verse 21, "And God created every winged fowl." God created the birds. You think about that this morning. Huge birds, the eagle, but the very smallest birds as well. You think about how intricate. You think about the organs, the parts of their bodies, tiny birds. God created it all. Elsewhere in the scriptures, we read of birds on numerous different occasions. We're taught different lessons from the birds. But there's one verse I want to leave with you this morning. It's found in Isaiah and the chapter 40. The verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll be like eagles. And you think about the eagle that flies in the sky, strong and powerful. And there's the promise from the Lord God. If we wait on Him, if we trust in Him, if we depend and lean and rest on Him, He will give us strength. He will give us courage. Boys and girls, but older people as well, we go through so many difficulties and doubts and trials and hardships in this life. But there's this verse, waiting on the Lord. That's how we get through. Not looking to ourselves. Not looking to our flaws, our mistakes. Looking to the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Lord will meet our needs when we're Christians, when we're looking to Him. But I wonder, boys and girls, I wonder, older folk in the congregation as well this morning, have you ever looked to the Lord for your greatest need? Your greatest need. The Bible is clear. The Bible tells us that we are sinners. We deserve to be punished. We know that. But Almighty God sent forth His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. He lived a perfect life. He died for sinners. He rose again. And the Bible says if we trust in Jesus Christ, we'll be forgiven. We'll be saved. And our greatest need is to know our sins forgiven. And so I ask you again, boys and girls, older people as well, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Have you turned away from your sin? Have you repented? And have you placed your trust and faith in and on Jesus Christ alone? I pray that you have. And that if you haven't, you will come to him as he has invited you to in his scriptures. Let's turn in our scriptures this morning to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, towards the end of the Old Testament, the third book from the close of the Old Testament, the book of Haggai. The book consists just of two chapters, a short book, but it is the opening chapter that we want to look at for a few moments this morning. We want to read together from the outset of this chapter. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, and reading from the opening verse. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus spaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and, lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the heart of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Amen. We'll end the reading there. Trusting the Lord to bless the public reading of his word. At this stage, can I ask my brother to come forward and bring the necessary announcements for the incoming week.
Well, we do extend to you all a very warm word of welcome out to your morning service today. We trust that the Lord will richly bless you as you've joined with us. And can we bid any a special welcome who are visiting with us this morning? We trust that you'll enjoy the service and come and meet with us again on other occasions. Also like to extend that welcome to our preacher today, our brother Mr. Stephen Nelson, who's a third year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. We do welcome along this morning and his wife who's out with him. And we trust that the Lord will richly bless him also as he comes amongst us today and as he brings the word of God to us. We just remind you of the meetings as they continue throughout the incoming week. This afternoon at 3 p.m. Will be the meeting in Bray Valley Nursing Home. And then this evening at 6:30 there will be a season of prayer before the evening gospel service. Our brother Mr. Nelson will be back, God willing, with us this evening to bring the gospel message. And the singers will be our brother and sister George and Jennifer McFadden. We'd encourage you to join with us again this evening and bring others out to the gospel service if you can do, please. Tomorrow morning, the little Sunbeams meeting will take place with parents and toddlers at the usual times. And then on Tuesday is the children's meeting at 7 p.m. Missionary prayer meeting is on... it will be missionary prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. with her brother, Mr. Chris Kellen, along to bring the word of his work. And he'll be doing a presentation, and there will be a missionary offering taken up at that meeting on Tuesday evening. On Thursday evening at 8 p.m. in our own church here is the Christian Workers Academy. It continues in the church hall. And as you're aware, there's a rota for the ladies to help with refreshments there. And if you can help out with the few nights that are still to be covered, that would be greatly appreciated. On Friday evening at 8 p.m. is our Young People's Fellowship. And they'll be continuing on the theme of discipleship. The Reverend Smiley will be speaking to them this Friday evening. And then there will be a time of refreshments and fellowship afterwards. And all young people are encouraged to attend that on Friday evening. Services next Lord's Day are at the usual times, with the Sunday School and Bible class at 10 a.m. And then morning worship at 11:30, when the preacher will be our own minister, the Reverend Smiley. And he'll be continuing in his series on the prophecy of Isaiah. Next Lord's Day afternoon will be the meeting in Beachfield Nursing Home at 2:30, and then there'll also be a season of prayer at 3:30, a prayer meeting for revival. And again, we'd ask God's people to remember that special season of prayer. The evening gospel service is at 7 p.m, preceded by a half hour of prayer, and the Reverend Smiley will be at that preaching at that meeting also. The singers will be the Ballygowan Trio, and there will be missionary council retiring offerings taken up at both services next Lord's Day. I just remind you of the church dinner, which takes place on Friday the 21st of February, meeting at 6:45 for 7 o'clock. There's menus available for that church dinner, and if you please get those and return them with the payment to our brother Mervyn Barr or brother Robert Catterson. And I have a note here that they're to be returned no later than next Lord's Day, that's the 16th of February. So please do get a copy of the menu and get that returned as soon as possible, and invite others along to that for a night of fellowship. And finally, we have a presbytery-approved announcement from the Mission Board, which is to be read in all of our churches today, regarding the work in India. For reasons previously explained, the announcement specifically avoids naming the family. And the statement reads as follows. Over the past several months, the Mission Board have been reviewing our outreach in India, following changes in the country, in that country, that make it more difficult to live and work there. You will all know that we have supported a worker and his family in that land over the past 3 years. Our worker and his family have now returned home on furlough, and over the past month, the Mission Board has been involved in an intensive review of the work and the situation in general. On reflection and after much prayer, we have come to the conclusion that the Lord is closing the door for this work at this time. So by mutual consent and with the approval of Presbytery, we can report that our worker and his family will not be returning to India at this time. The Mission Board wishes to put on record our sincere appreciation of 3 years' service given by our worker and his family on the mission field. To take one's family to the mission field, which can be a difficult environment for a number of reasons, was no mean task. We and our worker would like to thank our congregations for their prayerful and practical support over the past 3 years and ask for prayer for the days ahead. The Mission Board will strive to ensure that we maintain and develop the connections that have been developed, and we will continue to pray that the Lord would extend these links and open new doors in the future. Yours in His service, the Reverend David Park. These are all the announcements.
Thank you very much for your words of welcome, for making those announcements. And can I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I do very much appreciate the opportunity to come and to meet with you and to meet around God's word and to look to Him on the Sabbath day. Our offering hymn is 479. 479. Search me, O God, my actions try, and let my life appear as seen by thine all-searching eye. To mine my ways make clear. 479 is our offering hymn. We will keep our seats initially as the tithes and offerings for God's work here are gathered. 479. And six, standing to sing. Chapter 1 open before us. Let's just bow in a few moments of prayer, seeking the Lord's help as we come this morning to His word. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this morning with the words of the psalmist on our lips and hearts. Open now Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And Father, we look at Thy word and we remember that it is a source of great comfort to the Christian, a source of rebuke, a source of encouragement. And Father, Thou knowest all the needs of Thy people here in this place. Thou knowest the word that each and every soul does require. And we pray that Thou wouldst come down now and speak to every waiting heart. Father, speak to my heart. Father, I pray that I would not say or do anything that would bring dishonor upon my Savior's name. I pray that I would speak clearly and plainly, simply.
Father, we pray that thou wouldst minister to every heart. We pray the Spirit of God would come down and work here today. Encourage thy people. Speak to them. Reprove those who are wandering astray. Lord, if there be any gathered in our midst this morning still outside of Christ, we pray that the preached word would be driven home by the power of the Spirit of God and they would be brought under conviction. And today they would come to Jesus Christ. Father, help us. In the name of our Savior. Amen.
The 11th of October, 1844. That date was the birth of a remarkable man. A man who would do his service for the Lord just where he was, just in his own circle of influence. He was a man indeed of great influence. He has a humbling testimony. That man is a man by the name of Henry John Hines. Henry John Hines. You will know who this man is. You will be familiar with the products on the supermarket shelves. That great brand, Heinz, baked beans, tomato ketchup, and a whole other host of different things. This man founded the company. But baked beans is far from his greatest achievement. You see, there was something different about Henry John Hines. He was a believer. He believed. At every step of growth in that huge company, as it expanded, at every step of growth, he sought to operate according to Christian principles. He had a great testimony. It is said of John Hines that he acted fairly and honestly in all his business transactions. Those who worked for Hines had all kinds of benefits that were foreign to workers of that day. Health benefits. He provided his employees with a garden, a gymnasium, a library. He provided them with free health care. Indeed, if you worked for the Hines Company for a minimum of 3 years, then he gave you life insurance. And even when you were in your sick bed, he personally or someone of his staff would come and visit you. He had a motto which he lived by. Make all you can honestly. Save all you can prudently. Give all you can wisely. We have to say he lived by that motto. Hines was renowned for tithing, but he went far beyond tithing. He didn't just give 10% of his income to the Lord. He gave more and more, and the more he gave to the Lord, the more the Lord blessed him. He's a remarkable man. Here was a man who had his priorities in the right places. Yes, his business was important to him, but he would use his business to reach other people, to witness to others. Upon his death, the family and friends and colleagues gathered around to hear the last will and testament. The opening line reads as follows. I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there was a man who had all of this wealth, a man who had achieved so much in the business world, and his loved ones were gathered round, and what did he want them to have most of all? Not money, not things, Christ. His priorities were correct. A fellow business leader said, following the death of Hines, that he was a Christian man whose life reflected, as far as a human being could, the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. Here was a man who wanted to be like Jesus Christ. He wanted to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. His priorities were correct. He had a fine testimony. Challenging. We come this morning to Haggai and the chapter 1, and here we see the spiritual state of the people of Jerusalem. And we have to say that their report, the report of these people is not so positive. These people did not have their priorities right. Hines would put God first no matter what, but that could not be said of the people in Jerusalem in Haggai chapter 1. Their priorities were wrong. And so when we come to this chapter, we consider national soul searching. And in the time that remains this morning, that is simply what we want to consider together. National soul searching. For that is exactly what was happening here in Haggai chapter 1. And the first thing we notice here in this chapter as we consider this national soul searching is that the people were a self-centered people. They were a self-centered people. Verse 2 says, "Thus spaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And they were saying, well, it's not time to build God's house. That's for another day. We'll not worry about it now. And their priorities were all wrong. They had left captivity. They had left Babylon. They had returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And yet when they got there, they said, not now. And their priorities were wrong. They were putting their own needs, their own desires, before the Lord's work. Of course, we are mindful then of our Savior's teaching in Matthew chapter 6. And the Lord Jesus Christ points out to the birds in the air. We said that a few minutes ago. Teaching in the scriptures around birds. And in Matthew chapter 6, Christ points to the birds of the air. And he says that they care not for temporal things because the Lord provides. Does that mean, as believers, that we're lazy? Of course not. That would contradict Scripture. But we put first the things of God, and the Lord remembers our needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. The Father knows our needs. We get our priorities right. We serve Him first, and He meets our needs. And we remember the context here in Haggai chapter 1. Approximately 16 years prior to these events in Haggai chapter 1, the Persian emperor Cyrus issued that decree. The Jewish exiles in Babylon could return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. We have that recorded in Ezra chapter 1. And about 50,000 Jewish exiles left Babylon. They went to Jerusalem. They went under the governor Zerubbabel. They cleared away the rubble. They repaired the altar. They laid the foundations for the temple. They started the work, but then the work ceased. It stopped. You see, there were difficulties. There was hostility from neighbors. Cyrus the emperor died. His successor Ahasuerus was given false information and he was encouraged to stall the work. And the work ceased. And when the work ceased, the priorities of the people changed. No longer were they putting the Lord's cause first, the rebuilding of the temple first. They began to put themselves first. They became, as we said, a self-centered people. And at this point, we meet Haggai, because Haggai is sent forth of the Lord to challenge the people to return to building the temple. To say, you've wandered astray, your priorities are wrong, get back with the Lord. Now, we must be fair to these people in Haggai chapter 1. We cannot be altogether scathing of them. We have to acknowledge that these people who left Babylon to go to Jerusalem were part of that remnant. They were seeking to be faithful. They could have remained in Babylon at their ease. But they said, no, the Lord requires us to go to Jerusalem, so we will. And we will set about rebuilding that temple. That is what the Lord desires. They were sensitive to God's desires and God's promises that one day the temple and the altar would be rebuilt. And so they obeyed. They left. It may be difficult, but they were willing. They were seeking to honor the Lord. And this is the amazing thing. These people had started out so well. They obeyed the Lord. They returned to Jerusalem. They were going to rebuild the temple. They started out well. They had fine intentions. They were going to serve the Lord. Things were going well, but hardship set in. There was hostility, and the work ceased. And there we have it. People who started out well serving the Lord, but difficulties come, and they stumble. And they fall away. and they leave off serving the Lord. They become self-centered. His cause becomes secondary. Their priority is themselves. And they conclude in verse 2 that it is not time. It's not time. And of course, Christian, we look at ourselves. We see these people, they started well. Great intentions. We look at ourselves, Christian, and we examine our hearts. When we first believed, when we first came to faith in Jesus Christ, there was that love, that zeal, that passion. We are determined that we're going to take every step we can for the Lord. We will serve Him. We will speak for Him. We will be in all the outreach efforts of the work. We will be here Lord's Day morning and evening. We will be in the midweek prayer meeting. We'll be at youth fellowship. We'll work among the boys and girls. We will do all that we can. We start well. There is that zeal, that passion. But then maybe there are difficulties, or trials, or hardships, just like there is in Haggai chapter 1. And our priorities seem to shift. And now we're not at the prayer meeting. Now it's only one service on the Sabbath. Now we're not chomping at the bit, as it were, to get on outreach teams, to knock doors, to speak to people. A light that once shone so brightly in the workplace seems to be getting dimmer. And our zeal is shrinking. We have become like these people, self-centered. And that's why we see in verse 2, they make this excuse, the time is not come. It's not right. It's not the right time to rebuild the temple. Despite the fact the Lord has told us to do it, we're saying it's not the right time. And they make an excuse. An excuse always shows us that there's guilt. And the Lord reveals to these people that they are guilty, their priorities are wrong. In verse 4, we read that these people are dwelling in sealed houses. What does it mean? It means paneled houses, paneled roofs and walls, fine houses. And this is the manner in which they are living, and yet the Lord's house is still in ruins. And the problem is being uncovered here. One commentator says, the root of the difficulty was the coldness in them towards the things of God. And what is it when we put other things before the Lord? Other priorities before the Lord? What is it when we put ourselves before the Lord? It's idolatry. And here we see in Haggai chapter 1, these people, they were self-centered people. A self-centered people. But secondly, as we look at this chapter together, we notice that they are a chastened people. They're a chastened people. The Lord was dealing with these people. In verse 6, we read that they have sown much, but they have little to eat. They have not enough. They haven't enough to drink. There's not enough clothes. And the man that earns wages, it's like he's putting it in a bag with holes. And they're struggling. Things aren't working out for them. They are experiencing times of leanness. Why? Because the Lord's dealing with them. The Lord's chastening them. The Lord is showing them, well, you're putting yourself before me. Therefore, I need to rebuke you. In verse 6, we have referred to it already. Much is being planted, yet little is being harvested. And these people are spending all of their time working in the fields. Working in the fields, working long hours, and because they're doing that, because their priority is their work, they're giving no time over unto the Lord. And therefore, they're reaping no results in the fields. Their priorities are wrong. And we see that today. We see that today, even in the church. Christians who seem to live for their jobs. Christians whose priorities are all wrong, that they have so much time for their jobs and for their families and for their hobbies and a whole host of other things, but they have no time or little time for the Lord. And what is the result? They're not satisfied. They're spending all this time working, but they're never satisfied. It's like they're spending all this time in the field sowing, but the food won't satisfy them. Why? Their priorities are wrong. They're seeking satisfaction in the wrong places. It says there in verse 6, they eat, but they're never filled. They have clothes, but they're not warm. These people, as we say, cannot be satisfied. They are seeking after temporal things. And because all of their affections are upon temporal things, and only temporal things, and they have little time for the Lord, they will never find satisfaction. For satisfaction is only to be found in the Lord. What did we say? The Savior said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things, they'll be added unto you. Your priority is God's work. God's work. Serving Him. Being faithful to Him. It's like you're putting your wages in a bag with holes. It's pointless. It's falling out the bottom. You're getting nowhere. There's no satisfaction. Because you're pursuing things. And because they were pursuing things, the Lord stepped in to teach them, to frustrate them, to show them that they're going the wrong way. We see this on other occasions in the scriptures. You think about the life of Jonah. He was called to go to that great city of Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He went his own way. And what did the Lord do? He stepped in and frustrated Jonah. He taught him. You're doing this. You're not to do this. I have given you instruction. And I ask you this morning, Christian, are you going through a time of frustration? Perhaps some kind of leanness. You feel that the Lord is perhaps seeking to chasten or rebuke, frustrate you and your own plans. Of course, we go through times of difficulty and trial for a whole host of reasons. That goes without saying. But is it that you're going through a time of difficulty this morning because the Lord is challenging you to do something for Him and you continue to say no? Because that's what happened here. Build my temple. No, not now. And so the people were chastened. Are you being challenged? Is there something the Lord would have you do? And you continue to run away. And the prophet comes to these people with a message from the Lord. And he says, consider your ways. Consider what you're doing. You're disobeying. You're self-centered. You're being chastened. Think about what you're doing. Consider your ways. We see that in verse 5. We see it in verse 7. We see it in the chapter 2 as well. Again, consider your ways. And I should say as a side note, the importance of consideration in the Christian life. Because the fact of the matter is, it seems there are those who profess to be Christians and consideration does not seem to feature in their lives. They live how they want. They're not concerned about their testimonies. They're not concerned about the testimony of the fellowship they belong to. They do what they want. We hear that attitude, you only live once. And if you come along and you say to them, listen, what you're doing is not scriptural. Well, who are you to speak to me like that? You tell them that they're going astray, you're considered some kind of stuffy and stiff individual. And yet the Lord says, consider your ways. That should be at the forefront of our minds in everything we do. We go to the New Testament. We read the instruction to the church there. We are cautioned about our company. We are cautioned about our actions. We are cautioned about how we conduct ourselves before the church, before the world, before weaker believers. We are cautioned that we should not be stumbling blocks to other believers. We are cautioned to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Consider your ways. And so the Lord sends Haggai the prophet with this message. The Lord chastens these people. Why? Because He loves them. That's why they're being chastened. The Lord loves them. They belong to Him. You remember a father chastens his children. So we see a self-centered people, a chastened people, but we see finally this morning, I should say we see thankfully this morning, a repentant people. A repentant people. Verse 12 says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. The people repented of their wanderings. They heard the message. They realized that their priorities were wrong. They realized that they had wandered astray. They admitted their guilt and they repented. One commentator says, the message and reasonings of Haggai with the people fell upon good soil. Fell upon good soil. And the result is we see the highest in the land and the lowest in the land. We see the governor, we see the high priest, and we see the remnant of the people, and they all repent. They all acknowledge their guilt and they seek to put things right. Sadly, this is often not the case. We look in the Old Testament scriptures and we see many times judges and prophets coming to the people and pointing out where they've gone astray. And the people don't want to know. We live in a world here and now, today, in this time, in this age, in this place. And when you go to that world with a message of an individual's sin, don't want to know. So often the case. And we live in a generation where we're almost afraid to say, friend, you're a sinner. Because if you would go to an individual and say that you're a sinner, that you're wrong, well, you'll get lambasted. Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? If I believe something is right, then it is right, and that's all there is to it. And we see that day and daily. People live how they like. And they claim because it's how they want to live, then therefore it must be right. I can't be wrong. You can't tell me I'm wrong. You come to them with the message of the gospel and they say, how dare you call me a sinner? How dare you say I need to be forgiven? And the fact of the matter is, it's sad but it's true, there are times within the church that this attitude is also there. And perhaps a brother or sister is straying away. And another brother or sister comes alongside in love with the scriptures before them and says, look, this is where the scriptures are and this is where you are and it's not the same place. You're straying. And that individual flies off the handle. Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Regardless of what the Word of God says, you can't tell me I'm wrong. Maybe even in our own quiet times as Christians. The Lord's speaking to us about something in our lives we need to change, we need to put away, we need to be done with, repent of. And the Lord speaks to us as we read the scriptures and we come to church and the preacher preaches and again the Lord speaks to us and we come to prayer and again the Lord's speaking to us. He's pointing out sin in our lives. And sometimes, if we're honest, we have that attitude. Who, me? No, that's not a sin. And we seek to justify our actions. We have no desire to put our sin away. Is that how we are this morning? Is there some sin in our lives we need to put away? Cannot help but think of the words of 1 John 2 and 1. These words written to Christians. My little children. These things write I unto you that ye sin not. But then it says, and remember, this is to Christians, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if the Lord, pardon me, is speaking to us about some sin, Christian, we're holding on to, then we need to repent like these people did. We need to remember our advocate, Jesus Christ, and go to him. seek God's forgiveness and be done with our sin. I finish this morning with the words of Matthew Henry. He speaks of these people here in Jerusalem. They did not say that they would not build a temple, but they said, not yet. Thus men do not say that they will never repent and reform and be religious, but they say, not yet. Not yet. And I believe when we look at these words, we look at the behavior of these people here in Haggai chapter 1, there is a message for every single person here this morning. Every one of us. As we have pointed out, if you are a believer, and the Lord is dealing with you and rebuking you because of your sin, then you need to repent like these people did. Maybe you're a believer and the Lord is rebuking you because he's instructed you to do something for him and you continue to say, well, I'm not saying no, but I'm saying not yet. Later on. Repent. Submit. Maybe you're a believer who's cold in heart, not serving the Lord the way you should. In truth, you're a backslider. You've left off your first love. Yes, there was that time when you were genuinely converted. But you've left your first love. And you're saying, I'm not saying I'll never come back, but I'm saying not yet. And the Lord is speaking to you. Enough time has been wasted. Enough dishonor has been done. You return now. No more. Return now. Maybe there's one with us this morning still outside of Christ, not saved. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been presented to you week in, week out. You know it. And you have this attitude in your mind and in your heart, I am not saying that I will never come. In fact, you fully intend to come. But you say, not yet. And yet the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is plain. Repent, turn from your sins, and believe in and on him. When? Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we thank and praise thee that thou art a God who chastens and rebukes his people in love. We thank thee for this example that we have here in Scripture. Yes, these people dishonored thee. They wandered away. But Lord, thou art merciful to forgive them and to restore them and to restore them to usefulness for thee. Thou art a forgiving God. We pray, Father in heaven, that thou would speak to every heart. That we would all have an attitude of repentance before thee. Take us to our homes in safety. Speak to any heart that is outside of Christ. Draw them unto thyself. Keep us safe on the roads in the weather. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst draw us out tonight for Christ's sake. Amen.